Hi, I'm Quentin D'Souza, and you're listening to Getting Started with Education REI. Create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing. Make sure to check out educationrei.ca. In this episode, this member is looking to pull equity out of his properties to reinvest. We explore how investing in larger multifamily properties might be the best strategy for achieving his goal of building wealth. Have a listen.
What I like to do with these calls is I like to, just to get a little bit of a sense of where you are, where you're at, and where you want to go. But maybe what you can start off with is just give us a little overview about where you are in your real estate investing journey and where you are looking to go.
Okay, yeah. So I currently own 5 properties in Oshawa. Mm-hmm. 3 of them are singles. Mm-hmm. 2 of them are duplexes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And of those 5, 4 of them I bought in 2010 and 2011. Okay. So there's a lot of equity trapped in those. Mm-hmm. The 5th duplex I bought in 2017, and I renovated it to legalize.
Okay.
Okay. So of the 4 singles that I had bought, I was fortunate enough to be able to grandfather one of them in to legalize a basement apartment in a semi.
Okay.
That's why I have 3 singles and 2 duplexes now.
Okay. And the other singles, are you able to convert them at all or no?
No. I know that window of opportunity around 2017 is closed. Physically, I think one of my semis could do it, but I don't have any grandfathering in. There was never a kitchen there, a second kitchen, so that opportunity doesn't even exist.
Okay. Okay, and then so back in 2010, that means that you're probably sitting on that's like almost doubled.
Tripled, practically.
Okay.
So a few things happened. In one of my singles, I had a problem with one of the tenants, and luckily she's moving out at the end of this month. So I was tossing the idea of either just renovating it and renting it out again for much better rent or just selling it. And my gut feeling now is it's a single. I'm thinking that I should probably cash in and try to make the money work harder for me.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And I have the opportunity since my tenant is leaving. I don't have the heart to tell a tenant that they have to go because I'm selling.
Oh, okay. All right, I understand. That's not a problem. And then what about, what's your goals behind this? So what are you trying to do? Are you trying to achieve cash flow? Are you trying to achieve net worth? What's your goal behind your real estate investing right now? And let's say for the future.
Set up lines of credits on all of my properties to give me access to the equity. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if I have somewhere to the tune of about 1.5 million in equity to play with, which is a really deep pocket. Mm-hmm. So now I know it's hard to find cash flow in Oshawa now, so I'm looking at places like Peterborough, Coburg, and maybe even Belleville. I guess the crossroads that I'm at now is, if I have such access to this much capital, I'm sort of looking for a little bit of guidance and coaching mentorship, or at least someone to point me in the direction about whether I'd be better off continuing to buy bungalows and legalize basement apartments, or if I should try to get into multifamily.
So is your goal to create additional net worth, or are you trying to live off the cash flow from your investment properties?
At this point, I would say net worth.
then hands down, it's multifamily. Like, there's not even a question in my mind. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't. And the numbers work well, especially if you purchase it correctly. And the idea behind, so I would say that the 1 to 4 unit properties are more towards generating cash flow and appreciation. But if you're looking for wealth, hands down, the apartment buildings will do it for you. And the thing about the apartment buildings is that there's different approaches that you can take to do it. You can invest yourself, you can invest with somebody else, you can do what, you know, different approaches. They are like wealth generators. And the best thing about them is that you can refinance them. And you don't have, and it has little to do with your own income or the income that you typically, the roadblocks that you run into in the 1 to 4 unit space. There aren't those. You know, you're looking at the income and expenses for the property. I mean, there's a little bit of back and forth now because CMHC are not allowing you to do equity takeouts unless you're using the funds for renovations or for buying additional properties, but you just go conventional. Like, people are making a mountain out of a molehill here. So you just go to conventional lending and you'll be able to access the funds, and then maybe you go back and do CMHC after, like, you know, put it on a 1-year term or whatever. Like, there's a lot of different ways of doing it. I think if you're interested in multifamily from a like net worth perspective, then that's a great way of going about it. One of the things I'm going to suggest is on the Education REI website, there's a lot of presentations that are like Pierre-Paul Turgeon, there's a few other people that talk about multifamily and apartment building investing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Definitely go back and listen to those. That's a great place to start. And that'll help you on the right path. You need to find a realtor that actually does multifamily buildings. That's the different realtor than what you would normally deal with. I can look at giving you a couple of referrals on the realtor front. So if that's a, I'll just make a note. That's something that I can do, but you need to decide that that's what the direction you're going. When you're talking about multifamily, you've got to remember that, like, you're not going to be putting 80% down typically on a property. You're probably putting closer to 70% down, maybe even, 30% down or 35% down, depending on what your purchase price is.
Yes.
You know, and if you're in the market with, you know, for these buildings, it's pretty competitive on the lower end. So if you're working in the 6 to 12 unit range, it's pretty competitive. As you get into bigger units, there's still competition. There's still quite a bit, but it gets less and less the bigger you go, right?
I see. Okay. I think in my situation, I probably have to be playing within the 6 to 12 sandbox.
Right. So then what you want to do is start approaching people who have 6 to 12 units and see if they're interested in selling those. You can connect with realtors and find out whether they have, like, usually the residential realtors, they may once in a while run into somebody with a 12 unit. But what you want to do is look at who is listing properties in the area and then contact them. Right. When they're listing 8 to 12 or 6 to 12 unit properties, they're probably getting other 6 to 12 unit properties. So you probably want to talk to them and see. I think there was somebody who just posted an 8 unit in Whitby. Now the numbers don't really work well for me anyways. They're like, the cap rate is 2.7 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
It's quite low, but they're also trying to sell the property based on future rent prices, right?
And right. Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
And if you do that, you're actually losing the value of the increase, right? So I find it interesting that people do that. It's going to take some time to learn about the multifamily space and gain a reputation, but I mean, you can do it. And, you know, the thing is, you know, to make sure that you're getting a yield on your money, right? You want to get a interest rate. Let's say your interest rate is 2% and the cap rate is 4%. At least you've got a spread there, right? Okay. You know, and that may be one way for you to look at that. When your cap rate is really important, but also if there's how are you going to increase the value of the property? Usually it's on turnovers, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot and I've read a lot about buying a building that where the rents are under market and the units have not been really updated. So every time someone comes out, you throw some money at it to upgrade the unit and then rent it for at market. And then suddenly, based on your gross rent multiplier or the cap rate, your apparent value of the building would increase automatically because of the increase in of rent.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay.
So I'm actually working on right now I've got 7 buildings that I'm working on. It's about 40 million in assets, just over 200 units. And I've filled 5 of those buildings and half of the 6th building. And, I'll send you the package. You can have a look at it and that may give you a little bit of inspiration and some ideas of how to look at this. The challenge is that there are lots of other people competing in the space. And so you have to be ready to go before you put an offer in, right? So you have to have your cash ready. You have to have your ability to close, and you have to understand all the pieces, right? So getting your team together is going to be really important.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So you got to get your mortgage, and it's not the same mortgage people usually that you're working with. Like you're working with the commercial at, let's say, BMO, or the commercial at CIBC, not the residential, right? Different branch. You want to have your holding company probably ready to go. You can, have that ready. You're going to want to have your, the person you're going to use for insurance ready to go. Are you going to want to have all those pieces ready to go and then, proceed with once you've got that, your ducks in a row. And then that way, when you put an offer in, you have the cash, you have the financing, you know how they'll evaluate the deal. You can move ahead with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The incorporation was the other not hurdle, but the other step for me, because all of my properties are held personally, and at the time I was happy with what I had, so I just stopped investing, and I stopped looking for more property. But then just recently I started realizing how much equity I have, and I thought, I might as well start making it work for me, work harder for me.
Exactly. Yeah. One thing I'm going to suggest you look at too is we've got an exercise called the return of equity calculation. And so when you're on the website, take a look at the return of equity calculation. It's a good way of evaluating the properties, seeing and comparing your different assets based on your returns. It may, give you a different insight. And then you could run the same calculation based on what you would buy an apartment building for and see what your return would be. I think you'd be quite surprised at what that looks like, because a lot of people who have owned property, particularly residential property, for a long time, they're stuck because they can't access the equity. And or if they do, it's expensive, or it's a challenge for them in some way, shape, or form, right? So selling an asset and putting those funds into other assets that are easily refinanceable is a better option often than staying in residential. As long as you're willing to grow, right? That's the thing. You have to be willing to grow. So there's a couple of pieces that you need to get in place. There is we've got a discount as well on setting up your holding company. So just like under the discount section, we have a paralegal that'll help you to do that. And she's helped me quite a few times too. So I think that'll be helpful. And so look at the discount section and then go through the roadmaps on the multifamily phase, and that'll help you quite a bit.
Okay. So for the incorporation, you're recommending that I would just go to a paralegal for that?
It depends on what your comfort level is, and if you already know what you want to do, right? So
yeah, in terms of incorporation, I only know the principal of the holding company and the property management company, but really I'm kind of a total rookie.
Right. So you're going to want to talk to your accountant first to see how it's structured. You probably want to have multiple layers of shares, like A shares, B shares, C shares. And, you're going to want to figure out like what that looks like. For the most part, most holding companies are the same. Like there's not much different to them. But, you know, if you have, high income, you may want to talk to your accountant just to make sure how they suggest you set it up. But, you know, typical holding companies are the same. There's some variations, but they're typically the same. If you're an accountant helps you to set it up, or a lawyer helps you to set it up, it'll probably cost you a lot more than if you were to have a paralegal set it up. But if you haven't done it before, that's probably better to work through the professionals.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's good. Any other questions or anything that I can kind of help you? That should get you started and get you.
Yeah, for sure. No, I really appreciate it. I guess my main concern moving forward is whether I'm going to be hitting a wall in terms of not being able to make that. Let's say, if you say that the competition for the 6 to 12 region is also pretty competitive. I'm starting to wonder if I shouldn't discount or dismiss the possibility of buying, let's say, triplexes and fourplexes.
No, you should never discount anything. I bought a triplex this year, so don't if the numbers make sense, the deal makes sense, then move forward with it. I always say and. Right.
Okay.
So figure out, you know, maybe you do residential and you do multifamily. Right. There could be a point there, though, as you go along, like with me, that I'm not really focused on the residential. Right. Like I bought the triplex myself for myself. That's it. Right. Like I didn't have a partnership on it or anything like that. So, it just has to make sense to you and what you want to do.
Okay.
Right. But doing both is fine. It just make sure the numbers work. Right.
Okay.
And if you're buying outside of the area, I would suggest you make sure that you have a property manager.
Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah. In Oshawa, the last duplex that I converted, and one of my tenants in my other duplex is property managed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that makes it a lot easier for you, especially when you're dealing with other things. I think it allows you to scale a little bit more too.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Moving forward, I would always have a property manager in between.
Okay.
Because there's a value of having just the extra body between the landlord and the tenant for so many different reasons, as you know.
Yeah, for sure. There's lots of different ways of doing it, and you know that's definitely a good way for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions I can address?
I think I'm okay. I guess if you're able to refer me to a few multi-residential realtors, that would be great. At least I can start asking them questions.
One of the things I would encourage you to do is attend those Q&A calls that we have twice a month. I think it's a great place to network, as well as if you have other questions that come up during the month. I don't do coaching anymore. And so that's how I give back. Like I'll do the Q&A calls, and then if people have questions, I'll answer them. And then we have, like, especially on the experienced call, we do more networking. So it gives you an opportunity to connect with other people, you know, how they're doing things, and then in small groups kind of get to know more people. And by doing that, you start putting it out there what you're looking for, and you're usually going to get it, you know, as long as you keep putting it out there, right?
Okay.
So we want to keep doing is saying, look, I'm looking for 6 to 12 units in, you know, the Durham area, right? So you're going to keep saying that when you get into those small groups. And, you know, hopefully somebody will say, oh, well, I heard about this, right? And then you go follow it up, right? Things like
that. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, and I know I saw on one of your Q&A calls that you're encouraging everybody to put beside their name their number of properties and years of investing.
Yeah, that's right. Because I want to make sure that people know who they're getting an answer from, right?
Right.
Well, you have to be careful because sometimes you'll get advice from somebody who doesn't have the experience and you want to know where that's coming from. At least from my perspective, it's great. Everybody has advice, but not everybody has good advice.
Yeah, of course.
So you want to be careful of that. And that's why I do that.
Okay. So glad that you were able to spend this little bit of time just to point me in the right direction.
No problem.
Completely invaluable. Thank you very much, Quinn.
You're welcome. All right. Take care.
Okay. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with our member. I hope you got some valuable information out of it. If you would like to create wealth, freedom and security through real estate investing, make sure to check out educationrei.ca. Until next time, I'm Quinton D'Souza. Get out there and take action. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for information purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to educationrei.ca.